20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome into the Wednesday edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast, the Mix It Up edition. So I'm your host for today, Sarah Kelleher, joined for the very first time by Pack-A-Day Podcast and Game On Wisconsin's very own Jason Perrone. So Jason, how are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on. How are you?
I am good. I'm, one, very grateful that you were able to hop on and record this episode with me today. So just for anyone that's listening, Dusty is enjoying some well-earned vacation time with his family this week, and Steve is a bit under the weather. So Jason was kind enough to take some time out of his night and hop on and talk some Packers and record an episode with
me. Oh, Sarah, I think what you mean to say is they're stuck with me, and you're stuck with me too.
No, this is exciting. I mean, we've both been on the Pack-A-Day team for a while now, running in similar Pack-A-Day podcast circles and just Packers circles in general. So it's pretty cool that we finally had the opportunity to kind of link up and do an episode. So it's exciting. I mean, yes, of course, do we miss Steve and Dusty? Absolutely. But always exciting to get to talk to someone new as well.
Very good. Yeah, Packers football. And I have been doing the Quick Slants podcast over at Game On. I bumped it up to twice a week. It's been a lot of fun, and it's just been so refreshing to have actual football to talk about. And now we're actually focusing on football instead of some of the off-the-field non-football stuff. So that's good. We have on-the-field stuff to talk about, which is always preferred, right?
Exactly. I feel like the last 2 weeks have just been so nice to have real football things and not just crazy drama that we don't know if it's true, if it's not true, and all that. So let's jump right into it. Training camp continues on this week. There's been a lot of great coverage and great tidbits to come out of camp in the last week or so. So I'm curious, you know, before we kind of recap Tuesday and what happened, you know, we don't know each other super well, still, you know, learning about each other. So what has maybe been the highlight of training camp for you so far, or something that's really stuck out in particular?
Man, I think the competitiveness. I mean, I hear about the talent level every year. I feel like every year, I remember when Favre used to say, like, this is the best team I've ever been around, even in 2005, after they won four games and he played the 96 team and he saw some really good teams. And every year, like clockwork, he would say, this is the most talented team I've been around. So I think that's been really cool. But I think it's just the energy level. There's just a certain buzz, to use my co-host Mark Eccles' favorite word, around the Packers. And just this season, and despite all the crazy stuff that's happened, I think there's just this building anticipation. The defense was good last year. I think they were 13th in overall scoring. So it's like they're so close to being a top 10 defense. And then, you know, the offense is going to be really good too. So there's no reason to think that this team can't, for all the reasons why and all the other things that are going on outside of 1265 Lombardi, can't come together and have a really, really good season. And it was kind of a bummer. Like Kevin King, for example, him being on NFI is kind of a bummer, but we get a chance to see Stokes and some of the rookies. And then I would be remiss if I didn't say that I'm kind of giddy for the preseason games to start, because I want to see what Jordan Love looks like behind center.
Right. It's almost like we have been deprived of football content. So now when we have it again, we're just really excited. But yeah, I was talking to a friend the other day, and I just remember we were talking about, you know, the upcoming season, and preseason in particular came up, and I was like, I don't think I've ever been this excited for preseason football, maybe ever, just because, one, we didn't get it last year, so we never did get the opportunity to see Jordan Love and, you know, actually play in a game. And then, two, it's just Packers football. It was a rough off season. We had no idea, you know, what this year was going to hold, and now, you know, they're back in it. You know, people counted them out right away, that immediately thought, oh, Rodgers is gone. And now it's like, okay, Rodgers is here. They have a lot of the same pieces, had a good draft, improved in a lot of areas, and they're contenders once again. So it's really exciting. I think, you know, something I've loved just seeing the last couple of weeks is like you said, yes, the competitiveness, but also just like the camaraderie and how much fun they're having. I mean, Rodgers is riding around on a golf cart everywhere. They just are messing with each other, playing, you know, music at practice and taking over the aux. So it's definitely fun to have them back and be able to break it all down for sure.
So yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. So like I said, for this episode, we are really just going to give you a recap of some of the main takeaways from Tuesday's training camp, which was actually the first day with pads. So that was super exciting. Obviously, you know, nothing crazy, but it's a step closer to what we're all hoping for. So a couple just news and notes from the beginning. So Packers outside linebacker and special teams contributor Randy Ramsey, he went down with a left ankle injury in practice earlier this week on Monday. And people that were there were reporting that he wasn't able to put pressure on his leg at all, that it didn't look great. And so on Tuesday, LaFleur confirmed to the press that, yeah, this is a really bad injury and he's probably going to be out for a considerable amount of time. So if you're wondering, you know, what does that mean for the Packers? Ramsey's undrafted free agent. He signed a couple years ago in Green Bay. He's a really solid special teams guy, but doesn't really contribute much outside of that. So, you know, it's unfortunate to see this happen. We never, you know, want to see someone get injured. It always sucks, but it's not going to really affect the Packers day to day and what they're trying to do. So, you know, send him our best. Hope he recovers as quickly as possible, but this doesn't throw off, you know, the plan too much for what the Packers have in mind this year.
Well, and with Ramsey, the thing with him is that with and special teams in general too, is we don't really get the same breakdown of X's and O's. This is where you need a Dusty, is where the X's and O's of what do the special teamers do? Because I couldn't tell you how effective some of these guys are out there. I mean, you see the gunners and when they make a tackle and someone makes a big play, a return for a touchdown or a field goal by Crosby or a big punt by J.K. Scott, like that's obvious stuff. But the dirty work that you don't really see, what doesn't show up on the stat sheet. So what did Ramsey bring in that area there? Because I'm sure if you ask Maurice Drayton, the special teams coach, how he's going to fill that hole, he probably would have a lot bigger concern than maybe some of the other coaches as far as the defense goes. But you've got like a John Garvin, who's a young defensive end and linebacker who could potentially step into that spot. Fortunately, the Packers did bring back Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith, Rashawn Gary. So the pass rush really, I think, is largely set. Mm-hmm. It's a role player, like you said there. But special teams was an area the Packers struggled in a lot last year. They definitely need every piece they possibly can get this year. So hopefully they've got a contingency plan there.
Yeah, we'll definitely be interesting to see what happens. Some other news from Tuesday is that Packers undrafted rookie wide receiver Bailey Gaithier announced that he retired. So this is actually the second Packers player to retire since the start of training camp. So, you know, everybody in Vegas thought Aaron Rodgers was going to retire. He's not one of the two. Anyways, with Gaithier, he bit of an interesting story. He spent 6 years at San Jose State. Fortunately, he tore his Achilles in 2018, I believe. And, you know, not sure if that had any impact on his decision or what was happening there. Didn't see a lot. I'm not sure if you did, Jason, but you know, obviously they weren't huge contributors or Packers legends or stars, but again, you know, wishing them the best on whatever comes next.
Yeah, it's we've seen it more common over the last decade. Some younger players, you know, Chris Borland, the famous Wisconsin Badgers, probably an example a lot of Packers fans can relate to. And you just never know. I mean, ever since the player safety thing came out and some other guys are just making decisions and deciding, hey, maybe their career isn't going the direction they thought it was going to. Maybe it was an injury. Simon Stepaniak, the other Packer who retired, the offensive lineman. There's something to be said, too, about, and you know, there's 31 other teams that they could possibly play for in the NFL, but both of these guys were buried on the depth charts. So it just does kind of make you wonder, did they see the writing on the wall? Do they have other aspirations? We just really don't know. We really don't know. And for some of the names, Stepaniak's a name that we heard. Gaither not as really as much. There's been so much focus on the other wide receivers because there's this guy who got the 99 rating in Madden. And the Packers are working on a contract and he's probably the best out there in the game. So it steals the spotlight away from some of the other guys on the depth chart. But yeah, the Packers, I think they'll be okay. But it is another kind of one of those long away mentally, because I think eventually, whether it's with the Packers or somewhere else, there's going to be a surprise early retirement at some point from a player that we definitely have heard more about.
Agreed. And I think, you know, with the year and a half that we've had, a lot of people have realized, hey, you know, maybe what I thought was my everything isn't, and I want to spend more time doing this or more time with my family. And, you know, especially with the sport like football, where you're so injury prone, it's so tough on your body. Some of these players, like you said, that have been around for a while, and that, you know, maybe are still performing at a high level, or just like, you know, I don't want to do this anymore. And I'm not saying that's going to happen to everyone, but you know, I totally agree that we're going to see, you know, somebody here soon, and it kind of be shocking, but also totally understandable with just, you know, what we've all been through in the last year or so. So, and as a corresponding move to Gaither's retirement, the Packers also signed Daniel Crawford, who is an undrafted free agent tight end from Northern Illinois. And apparently he was wearing number 80 at practice on Tuesday. So that's just a note there. Again, we'll kind of see how it goes. There's obviously great tight ends for him to learn from on the roster. Not sure, you know, what kind of impact he's going to have, if any, but hey, if he's looking, you know, to get experience, to be a practice squad guy, there's a good group of tight ends he can learn from in Green Bay for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And that number 80 is a big deal. And NIU is kind of an interesting note there. Runs in my family, both by my aunt, my dad, and two cousins went to Northern Illinois. So it's good to see some love going on from the northern part of the state. I'm originally from there, although obviously I grew up in Wisconsin. I'm a Packers fan now too, but kind of cool to see that school getting some attention. They've had an on and off decent program over the past 20 years. Every once in a while they pop in there. So, but again, it's another one of those situations where the depth chart seems pretty well set at tight end. I think we're talking about, you know, an extra body. And if we can stash some of these guys on the practice squad and give them, you know, an opportunity to give the offense or the defense a good look during the week of practice, I think that's good enough there. I got to trust the Packers scouting work there that they felt that he was worthy of coming in. And wearing that number 80, there's a lot of pressure, right? Number 80 is kind of a big deal in Green Bay.
Just a little bit. Yeah. So. Aaron Rodgers also continued to be a focus at training camp on Tuesday, but not for reasons you might expect. So there's been a lot of talk about Aaron Rodgers and his future with the Packers, or Aaron Rodgers and, you know, how he's performing. But Tuesday was all about Aaron Rodgers having fun. So yes, he showed up on the golf cart again. He also apparently had the ox the entire practice. The Athletic's Matt Schneidman reported that music sounded like it was from before he was alive, which definitely made me laugh. And he also was hanging out with the Packers photography team and taking pictures with them, taking pictures of the guys out there. If you haven't seen it yet, the Packers did post the photos that he actually took on their social media. So definitely check it out. It's interesting, but love to see Rodgers having fun like that. And I thought it was interesting that they let him have the ox and play some music the whole practice. So Jason, I'm curious, if you were to take the ox for Packers practice, what would you play? Any artists or songs that come to mind right away?
Man, I don't know. I really don't know. I guess I think about artists that are good warm-up, and I think of a lot of Travis Scott. There's something with some pep in it. You know, I listen to a lot of hip-hop. So Travis is always a really good one. He always seems to have really good beats that kind of get you going before the games. And I feel like when I go and to a game at Lambeau or anywhere else in pre-games, you hear a lot of their music too. I don't know. I would probably try to stay away from the corny stuff that you hear on the radio all the time, because it's too easy. And you definitely want something with a little bit of an edge to it. You know, I always talk about the Packers having that it factor, that X factor. And I think just getting them kind of fired up and having some music that's got a little bit of an attitude, probably to just get you in the mindset, because when pads are popping, you need a little extra motivation.
Definitely. And I can confirm, you know, Travis Scott, definitely good artist. I've seen him in concert before, so that was super fun. But yeah, you also have to make sure it's music that the players like too. So, you know, a lot of players are Travis Scott fans, Drake, the list really goes on. So I think, you know, I don't think anyone would take the ox from you if you played Travis Scott at the Packers practice. I think they would be okay with that. So maybe not Aaron Rodgers, but because we know he's old school, but definitely good pump up music from Travis Scott there.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
So another note from training camp on Tuesday was, which I know might be a little bit shocking and come as a surprise to anyone who's listening, but it's that Davante Adams isn't perfect. So I know, you know, all of us that follow the Packers, people that are Packers fans, you know, he can do no wrong in our eyes. He's wide receiver one, you know, 99 in Madden, like you just talked about. But a few reports from training camp on Tuesday were that he looked a little bit off. You know, he wasn't as sharp as he typically looks. He dropped a couple passes here and there that he typically would catch. But, you know, I'm okay with this. If he's going to drop passes, let's drop them now in training camp. You know, as long as Davante Adams is catching touchdown passes during the season, that's all that I care about. So if he has an off day in training camp, then so be it. I'd much rather that happen now than, you know, 3 months from now.
Do you watch The Office?
I do.
Do you remember the episode where they were trying to figure out who was reporting that the printers were catching on fire? and Pam tells Jim in the stairwell, like, it was me. I think I have to come clean. And Jim's like, this is good. Let's get all the bad ideas out now. Right. So it's like, Devontae, let's get all the bad play out now in practice and training camp and, you know, all the dropsies and everything like that. You really cannot worry about Davante Adams until it spills out into the regular season. And I mean, even if he comes out week one and he's a little bit rusty, I'll be disappointed, but I'm not going to worry about it until we get into like midseason and he's still dropping balls and something just seems off with him, especially if they get a deal done and they're investing all this money. But there's no reason to think there's anything to worry about with number 17. I think he'll be okay. And it's been a long and crazy off season. You know, I mean, maybe he's nervous already because he feels this is it. This is the year they're going to chase the Lombardi, and that'll get the pit of your stomach going for anybody. So, but true professional, as much time as he spends working on his game, there is every reason to think he'll be fine. I mean, if it's not going to be for a lack of effort, work, practice, I mean, him working on his footwork, you know, I heard when they're doing special teams, he's out there working on his release off the line, taking every opportunity he can to improve himself. So probably out of all the guys, if you had to call it 53, I know there's more guys out there than 53. He's probably one of the last two or three players that we have to worry about. So fortunately, it's Devontae. I think he'll be okay.
Yeah, just maybe. I think he'll maybe be okay there. But speaking of Davante Adams, and another note that came out of training camp from this week was that Jaire Alexander actually jumped in front of a floater that was intended for Davante Adams and picked off Rodgers in Tuesday's practice. And apparently was so excited that he hopped the fence into the stands and started celebrating with fans. So always good to have some friendly competition between wide receiver one and CB1 there. Just curious, what are your thoughts, you know, going into this season about Jaire Alexander? I know the Packers have been a little cautious with him so far in training camp. He's been doing a lot of one-on-one drills on the side, but then, you know, we see he gets out there and immediately makes plays against, you know, some of the top duos in the NFL. So kind of curious, you know, what you're feeling about him and potentially his future with the Packers too.
Well, I'm incredibly biased because the game day jersey I wear is the number 23. It's Jaire's jersey. So thanks to our Pack-A-Day co-host, Jacob Westendorf, who bestowed that upon me a couple seasons ago when he was a rookie, and he's been my jersey ever since. Jaire is one of the reasons I'm very excited about this year's team, because I think he's going to be a big part of that dog mentality and the culture on defense and helping them ascend to hopefully what's a top 10 scoring defense, keeping other teams out of the end zone. He kind of has that quality of, you know, I don't like to make direct comparisons because every player is really good on its own, but back when the Legion of Boom was really good in Seattle, Richard Sherman basically had the entire left side locked down, covered. And then they could do whatever they wanted to do with Cam Chancellor, Earl Thomas at safety, and the rest of the defense. So Jaire, no shortage of confidence. He came out and said earlier this week, we heard him talk about how he doesn't care if he's overlooked. He knows he's good. That's all that matters is what he thinks. He doesn't worry about the outside noise. You know, he's a really interesting personality. He's got a lot of that going on. He's, you know, always given the incomplete sign when he breaks up a pass. He's just utterly confident. You need those types of guys. And look, I want iron sharpens iron. If he's going to make a play against Davante Adams, I would celebrate the heck out of that too, because I don't know how often, even if you are Jaire Alexander, you get a chance to better number 17. So when either of those two wins a battle against the other, it's definitely worth celebrating. And hey, there are fans at training camp. That's the biggest thing, is there's fans, there's people back in the stands, and I can't wait. That home opener is going to be incredible. Just the full stadium, the noise, and getting pumped up, and I'll be there. I plan on being there, so I'll be there in person to hear it. Looking forward to it a lot, for sure.
Oh, I'm so jealous. I was just talking to my dad the other day. I'm like, we got to figure out when we're going, because this is going to be the year that we want to go. So, you know, usually we go up to, I'm in Florida, so usually we go up at least for one game. So now it's just figuring out, you know, when's the right time to go, when we can get off work and things like that. So something I'm really looking forward to about Alexander this season is also how he works with Eric Stokes. I think immediately when Stokes was drafted, that was the first thing everyone thought of. Like, okay, Jarier has a buddy now, like a legit buddy that he can, one, you know, like you said, iron sharpens iron, work with, grind with every single day, but also that he can really take under his wing and mentor. So a lot of people were saying that Rodgers was bullying Stokes a little bit, going at him repeatedly, and he got burnt a few times, one, I think, by Lazard, another by Adams. You know, but personally, I think this is a good thing. I think if Aaron Rodgers is seeing that and is going after him, you know, Rodgers is very intentional about everything that he does. And so if he's saying, hey, I'm going to go after this guy, I'm going to try to make him better now in camp, so then, you know, when he plays against guys during the season, he's comfortable, he's ready, he's been tested. But I'm curious, you know, what you think about maybe Stokes and Jarier's relationship and how it could develop over the year.
I think that culture is strong. I think the defense, and they're going to take him under their wing, all of them, Z, Rashawn, Jair, Savage, Amos, all those guys are going to take him under their wing. He's going to quickly become part of what it is that they're doing. I think the plan, if you take a corner, well, you take anybody in the first round, especially higher, and the Packers obviously drafted much, much lower because of their good finish last season. But when you draft somebody in the first round, they're expected to be a contributor right away. So I think the idea is that Stokes maybe doesn't start the season as a starter, whether he's going to be in the slot or outside, but come the last part of the season, you hope that he's kind of taken hold of that starting role over a Kevin King or whoever else it is that's going to be out there. Maybe it's Chandon Sullivan's snaps that he takes a hold of. Very key. And Jair is going to be a big part of that and helping him gain that confidence. But I think that's also one of the reasons why they drafted Stokes is because he had that. He had that X factor. I think the Packers place a really good amount of emphasis on that interview. The part of the combine that we don't see and we don't hear much about is what's between their ears. And he just seems like he's smart. He's not afraid of the moment, make a big play. And if you can get production out of Stokes right away, and Kevin King is maybe your third or fourth corner, when you think about the fact that he was starting in an NFC Championship game last year, that secondary, it gets you giddy. It just gets you really, really excited. But I, you know, unfortunately, like I said, unfortunately, King on the NFI, we want all the players out there, want them to be healthy, but Stokes getting a look right now is not a bad thing. He's getting a chance to go up against guys like Devontae, like we said, that whole iron sharpening iron type of thing and trial by fire. He's going to learn really quickly what it takes to cover some of these NFL wide receivers.
Absolutely. And it seems like, you know, in addition to working hard and kind of improving their game, that they're already having a lot of fun with Stokes too. So he actually was one of the players that spoke to the media after practice on Tuesday. And personally, I think his segment was my favorite of the afternoon. And he talked a little bit about how Jarier Alexander and some of the other veterans on the defense basically were like, hey, you're the new guy in town, so you got to get us all snacks. We're hungry. Yep. You know, it's training camp. We're busy. So, you know, do us a solid. And he read off this super long list of things that he went to Target and got for the guys. So, I mean, from Snickers to Skittles, chips. He said he even got pistachios for Agent Amos. So it seems like he's really trying to keep his leaders in his good graces and do a little professional courtesy for them. So I respect it. But, you know, I was thinking, if I was lucky enough to be Jarier Alexander, what would I want on my list? So I think, you know, I'm thinking top three snack items I'd want Stokes to get for me would be, you know, maybe some peanut M&Ms, Cool Ranch Doritos, and maybe just like a classic wavy Lay's or something like that to at least keep me a little balanced there. But what would you want on your snack list?
I feel like you're going to call me copycat because two of mine are kind of similar to yours. Heath Bar is my favorite candy of all time. So definitely some Heath Bar, Heath Bites, whatever it is. Or, you know, if you really want to turn up, then you get some crunched up Heath and you go ice cream social. You bring in some vanilla ice cream and you bring in some crunched up Heath. I like the peanut butter M&Ms, Those are my those are my go-tos for M&Ms. And then I'm a regular Doritos, straight nacho cheese Doritos kind of guy. Like Slim Jims too. Those are really good. They had a little bit of meat in there as well, but I'm sure he did just fine. But when you've got all those different guys, it's kind of the same as when the rookies have to take the veterans out to dinner. There's going to be all sorts of different wine, and some like steak, some like seafood, and they'll find a way to rack up the bill. But I would have loved to have literally been a fly on the wall in that room and just feast on some of those snacks, because it sounds like it was really good. And we're Packers fans, so even if we didn't live in Wisconsin, there's some Wisconsin in all of us. And if you're from the Midwest, and you, especially if you've lived in Wisconsin, you know rule number one: it's all about food.
Exactly. Amen. A freaking men. But I thought this was amazing, just because it shows that they're having fun, and then two, it's just kind of tradition to always give the rookies a little bit of a hard time. And like you said, there's always the dinner. But this is a unique twist on that. And I know he said the cashier at Target asked him if he was throwing a party because he bought so much food. But definitely a good tidbit from after practice on Tuesday. David Bakhtiari also spoke with media on Tuesday and obviously addressed some questions about his return coming off that torn ACL, at the end of last season. His exact quote was, "I'm itching to get back out there, and I don't like seeing other people do my job." So, love to hear that. Love that he wants, to get out there as quickly as possible. He didn't give a specific timetable for his return, but curious if you kind of have a prediction or maybe a guess of when we might see him back in action this year for the Packers.
I don't know when. I hope it's week one. I am itching. We need our 69 back. He is absolutely the bomb. Was so supportive of the Bucs when they were going through their playoff run. He is, you want to talk about the culture and the personality of the Green Bay Packers, he is a huge part of it. And I'll tell you this, regardless of what his timeline is, I know the doctors are going to do good by him. He's going to listen to the medical trainers and the staff and all that kind of stuff. David Bakhtiari will be out there the absolute nanosecond that mm-hmm. he can play football and is cleared to play football. So even if he's not out there right away, you know that it's merely because it's just physically impossible. Otherwise, he's going to be out there. So that's there's no question about that. He means every word that he's saying there, and he's looking forward to getting back at it. And he's had to train extra hard. I mean, chugging all those beers, that's a lot of calories to try to work off. So he's got to get himself back out there and playing football and losing some of that water weight again, right?
Oh gosh, no, he's always great at the Bucs games. I always love seeing him there, and I know his dad was there during the playoff run this year, so that was awesome. But yeah, he is just the best. I love, one, watching him play because he's spectacular, and then two, he's just the best. He's hilarious, he's so much fun, he's lighthearted. You can tell he's loved by the organization, the coaches, his teammates, the community. So it's hard not to root for a guy like him. He also had a great quote Tuesday about Josh Myers. He knows the Packers rookie center that's been coming in and making an impact really quickly. And, he said, "You're either a terrible athlete or a bad football player, because why are you playing center at 6'5"? Then he laughed it off and said, "But he proved me wrong on both. Though I will not say he's my favorite center from Ohio State, he's off to a good start." So always good stuff from number 69 there, and excited to see him get back up out on the field soon. Definitely miss him.
You know, that is kind of an interesting thing too, because as a center, you need that low center of gravity, and 6'5 does seem tall. I'm sure there's other centers that have been that tall that have done really well. I think Corey Linsley, if I'm not mistaken, was like 6'2", 6'3". So, I mean, that's not short. That's definitely mm-hmm. not short. But when you think of 6'5", you're starting to get into guard territory. I mean, there might even be some tackles that are 6'5". So I'm really curious to see how Josh Myers handles that center of gravity thing. And then there's the old, I don't know if you remember this, Sarah, back in the day when Rodgers had a couple different centers. I think when Evan Dietrich Smith took over at center, and then Jeff Saturday was in there for a while, and Rodgers talked about taking the snap and the different butt heights and sweat situations and all that other kind of stuff down there. So that's just one more thing for us to, kind of lean forward in our seats and hear what Aaron Rodgers has to say about that whole thing. Cause obviously laugh it off, but the center exchange with the quarterback is very important. And Rodgers has been in the league for 16 years. It's Myers' first, uh, first go around, and I'm glad he's performing well in practice, but the lights under a regular season game are a lot different. So hopefully they're not too bright for him when they kick things off in New Orleans in week one.
Definitely. And I did look it up. Lindsley is 6'3". So, you know, really only 2-inch difference there, but hey, maybe taller centers and the Packers, maybe that's a good duo. So fingers crossed that that works out. But yeah, I've been really excited. He was a pick when we were talking about the draft and kind of just reflecting on, you know, what the Packers did and the decisions they made, that I was like, I think he could really make an impact right away and be really exciting. So it's been really neat to kind of see that. And I know Rodgers has been very complimentary of him already as well. So they're already building that trust, which, you know, like you said, is super important at the center position.
Well, I don't think there's any other, except for Eric Stokes, maybe right now, because King is out there, but Josh Myers is really the only rookie that's, I think, primed to be starting this season. Mm-hmm. And so that's a lot. That's a lot to ask. I mean, if Stokes gets out there and does it week one, that's fine, but not out of the gate. I mean, if everybody was healthy right now and King was healthy, they would probably be working him in, and he'd be penciled in as the starter week one. So Myers has a lot of pressure on him. But again, Packers aren't going to put him in a situation where he's not going to succeed. And when he was drafted, what did we hear about him? A lot about him was that he was a smart player, team captain, Ohio State. Again, what's between his ears? The Packers got to trust the Packers that they did their due diligence. And it looks like they hit again on another offensive lineman that could be really, really good for him. If you think about the guy who's taken David Bakhtiari's place entering his third season, Elgton Jenkins, who's just absolutely all world up front. What a find in the second round. Just absolutely incredible job by the Packers scouting team with those offensive linemen.
Yeah, he's definitely going to be a player to watch week one and just, you know, see what happens. And I have a good feeling about it. So today on Wednesday, when you're listening to this, the Packers do have practice, but it is not a public practice. They're doing a private walkthrough, so there won't be as many reports, but you will have the opportunity to hear from, you know, the man himself, Aaron Rodgers. Alan Lazard is also speaking to the media after the walkthrough, and Devondre Campbell. So definitely some good stuff to come later today. And I'm sure we'll get some more Rodgers drama, more questions answered. We know last week when he addressed the media that the contract, their new contract, was not finalized yet. So I'm sure we might learn a little more about that and some of the other details and context around that move. But curious if you're looking for anything from Rodgers on, you know, today or the rest of training camp, or have you come to peace with the situation?
Yeah, I have. I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head earlier with Rodgers and his being intentional. It's very intentional, and he doesn't just show up in front of the microphone and wing it. He's been thinking already for a while about what it is he wants to say. What's the theme of what is he going to talk about this time? He's already a step ahead, anticipating every question he's going to get asked. He's very cerebral type of athlete. I guess if I'm looking for anything, it's going to be for him to start talking about the team, the players, the approach this season, and about football, and not so much the off the field stuff. I know he's going to get asked about it, but hopefully if he starts talking about the team and how excited he is, you know, one of the things he said was he got juiced up when he got back out on the field. Kind of makes me wonder if he rethought sitting out all spring when he was out there and was like, hey, I don't know if I would do this again if I'm here next season, if I'd sit out the whole offseason program. I know that he said he had some mental health stuff to take care of, but focus on football because the chances are dwindling here. We know Rodgers isn't going to play forever. There is only one Tom Brady. I know nobody wants to hear that, but it's tough to think that Rodgers is going to play another 6 or 7 years and have that many more bites at the apple, and especially in Green Bay. So focus on ball and let's get to trying to bring the Lombardi home, because Packers' best chance to do that is with Aaron Rodgers this year, and Aaron Rodgers' best chance to do that is with the Packers this year.
Yep. Couldn't have said it better myself. So we will move on. That will pretty much wrap up camp highlights from Tuesday. But as always on the Wednesday edition, before we go, wanted to answer a few questions. So thank you to all of you who sent in questions, really great ones. As always, we just picked a few to run through real quick at the end of the episode. And kind of debate, talk about, dissect, however we want to. So the first question is from Eric Rose, who is a very loyal Wednesday listener, loves sending in questions every week. And he asked, in light of Dusty's request of the Panthers, which if you did not see, the Panthers tweeted earlier on Tuesday, feeling generous, tell us a jersey you need and we may just buy it for you. And Dusty, you know, submitted his request, but he said, in light of Dusty's request, if you had to get a jersey from another team, who would it be? So curious, Jason, if you just had to get a jersey from another team, you know, maybe what team and then what player on that team?
I am on the spot. Man, this is a really good question. I have honestly not thought about this before. I'd probably break my own rule. And one of the rules I have for Packers or any other jersey is no quarterbacks. It's too obvious, and so I don't like to go quarterback. But I think I'd break my own rule, because if I'm going to get a jersey from another team, it's got to really make sense, and it's got to be a player that I really respect that's going to be around for a while and who's really, really good. So I'd probably go Mahomes. I'd probably go Patrick Mahomes, Chiefs. Andy Reid's head coach there. He's got the Packers tie. So, yeah, it's a little cliche because he's, you know, the new supposed face of the NFL. But he's also one that I would wear and deal with all the – the other thing is what jersey would I wear and be willing to answer all the questions and take all the flack from my friends for wearing a non-Packers jersey? And I think Mahomes would definitely check that box. I'd go with Mahomes. What's your take? Who you got?
So I had to think about this one too, because it was like, okay, one, no one in the NFC North. Absolutely not. Like, can't pick anyone there. But then it's also like, what is a team that no one would really get too upset about? And where is a player that I also, like you said, really respect or care about or am excited about? So I'm a UCF grad. I went to UCF in Orlando here. And Richie Grant, who is one of our really good DBs, actually got drafted by the Falcons this year. And so I worked like in student media there. Super nice guy. Always, you know, just willing to answer any questions you have, give everyone his time. And so I think I would go with him because, one, UCF grad, obviously, you know, always try to support alums in the NFL as long as they're not playing against the Packers. But that's definitely one. And then I think the Falcons have super cool uniforms. So that's just another thing. They aren't really rivals of the Packers either. So, you know, I know they've played in high pressure situations in the past, but in recent years, it's not like there's been, you know, a lot of tension between those two teams. And then another one would just be Shaquem Griffin, like, again, another UCF player. Absolutely adore him and his story and just, you know, what he's gone through to get to where he is in the NFL. So I definitely would support, you know, the UCF guys. And those two are two that come to mind because they're great people and, you know, it wouldn't hurt to support them at all. So,
well, you definitely win the creativity award of the two of our answers for sure. So very well done.
Yeah, it was definitely, it was so hard because I remember when the Packers played the Seahawks in the playoffs a couple of years ago, the Griffin brothers actually had a sack together against Aaron Rodgers, and it was very late in the game. It could have been a game-changing situation, and I just remember sitting in my apartment with my friends, and I'm like, this is horrible. Like, obviously, the Packers are my team, and they always have been, and, you know, I cheer for them and everything, but then it's like, this happened too. And like, I don't want to get excited about it, but it was also super cool. So I just remember being so conflicted, like, oh gosh. So, you know, glad that, they're on teams that don't play the Packers as much anymore. So I can feel, you know, okay, rooting for them. And I don't have to feel so conflicted. But, Eric also had a second part to his question, which is a food, question. And he asked, what is the best dessert that isn't Oreo or cheesecake?
Ooh. Well, okay, since Eric is a frequent flyer on Wednesday, and it's Wednesday and I'm here, I might as well tell him that, Eric, don't forget there are 7 days of the week, and Saturday is also another great day of the week. We would love to have you stop by the Saturday Cruise Show as well while you're looking for something to do on the weekend. Okay, so this one's really easy for me. This anyone who knows me really well knows that I have a major sweet tooth. So for me, it's just plain and simple. It's Ben and Jerry's. Ben and Jerry's, and I guess you just take those flavors out of the mix, and those can't be the one that you go with. But it's Ben and Jerry's, it's ice cream. You heard me mention the ice cream social idea earlier. It doesn't take much for me to need that. Plus, I'm in the Phoenix area, so 12 months out of the year, it's always ice cream season out here. So if it's Ben and Jerry's, put it in front of me. I'll make it disappear.
Yeah, I'm pretty much in sync with you on that. I was just going to go really generic and say ice cream in general. That, you know, Oreo, like cookies and cream, is my favorite ice cream flavor. But hey, if I can't do that, like there are plenty of other options I can choose, right? Chocolate chip cookie dough, like mint chocolate chip, and chocolate vanilla swirl. Like there are so many options. So ice cream would definitely be my answer. That's like my go-to dessert. It's easy. I always have it in the house. Have to, you know, hide it at times for my own self because I'm the same way. I will dive into that way too often.
Well, and the thing about Ben and Jerry's too is it's like a pint's a lot. That's still a lot, but it's like that small-ish looking portion versus like if you're eating from, well, not from, but like the half gallon or the gallon containers, and there isn't really anything except for your own discipline to keep you from taking it all down at once. So at least gives you something to cut you off so you don't overindulge, I guess I'll say.
Yeah, definitely. So our next question is from Dawn, who is also a frequent Wednesday listener. And she asked, what is your favorite camp moment captured in photo or video so far?
Whew. Gosh. You know, I guess I haven't seen a ton of the pictures from camp. I liked seeing Aaron Rodgers smiling again. I mean, I was getting kind of tired of all the drama, but I needed a sign that he was really all in. And I think that was a pure moment of he's in, he's here, he's going to play hard, he's going to try to win. He might not be at total peace inside, but that was like, our guy's there and he's going to be playing and he's going to be under center and everything's going to be okay on offense. So that was because obviously he's the, you know, he's the fuel in the machine. So that was a big piece for me. I got to go with the Rodgers montage where he was kind of doing the hang loose and all the different, the smiles and the hand gestures. We just need our guy back under center. Like I said, if this is our last shot at it, then we need every bit of 12 we can get.
Definitely. I loved those photos too. They were so fun to look at. And it made me feel the same way of like, okay, he's here and he's ready to play. You know, we're no joking around anymore. Like, let's go. Ready, like, give us week one. So for me, I think it's definitely Cobb just coming out there the first day of practice that, you know, he was in Green Bay and seeing him and Devontae Adams basically skip onto the practice field together, like arm in arm, arms linked, just super happy and excited and laughing. It just felt right. Like seeing that, I was really excited and was another piece where it just made me feel good about the year ahead for Green Bay. And also, you know, Cobb is, he's a great guy. So to have him back on the team and in the locker room is going to be huge for the Packers this year, especially in a year where it seems like they're just going to lay everything out on the line and hope they can bring a championship home. So definitely loved seeing some of the Cobb content that first day or so. The second part of Dawn's question, also a food question. So she asked, are you able to trust people who don't like condiments, i.e. ketchup, mustard, mayo, ranch, etc.? So
I don't know. That's a really good question. I mean, I'm kind of a purist, but that's a little too far for me. You got to have a little something to add some flair. I mean, yeah. So, I mean, you're going to go to the ballpark and get a hot dog and not put anything on it. Like, no, I can't get my head wrapped around that. You heard me. I put toppings on dessert. Dessert should be good all by itself, but I still need some sort of toppings or side. So I'm going to have to go with a no. No, can't trust a non-condiment consumer. I don't know what your take is on that.
No, I agree. I don't know. And the thing is, I have a very strong opinion about mayo. Like, I'm not a big mayo fan, but I would rather put like a tiny bit of mayo on a sandwich or something then eat it just completely dry, like, and have nothing on it. I think there needs to be a tiny bit of some kind of condiment, you know, whether it's one that you love or one that you hate, there's just got to be something there to like make a sandwich or like you said, on a hot dog. Like I can't imagine eating a hot dog with nothing on it that unless it was the only thing I had and there wasn't anything else available. But yeah, I'm going to agree. I don't think you should be trusted. And personally, I don't know anyone who doesn't use any condiments at all.
Well, it's kind of, you know what it does make me think of, Sarah, is like when you had lunch at school, everything was kind of a little more bland and plain there.
Yeah.
So that takes you back to when that was like, you know, yeah, it's lunchtime, but like it wasn't always the greatest. So it's like, no, you gotta spice it up a little bit. Pun intended.
Definitely. And our last question is also a two-part question, and it is from Tyler. And he wants to know who our favorite Packers tight end of all time are.
That's a really good question. Favorite tight end of all time. So, well, one of them has got to be – actually, this is a tough one. One of them has got to be – I was going to say Mark Chmura, but, you know, I actually really appreciated what Keith Jackson did in that 96 season, too. They won the Super Bowl. They were both really, really good. So, but I'll go with Chmura. Chmura was with the team for a lot longer. He was a really big part of what they did. And then, I mean, if things continue the way they're going, it looks like Bob Tonya is going to end up being that second one because I was around in the early 90s. There was a tight end. His name was Ed West. He was kind of big when the Packers weren't as good. So good players stood out because they weren't as great. I don't know. I mean, JerMichael Finley did a lot of good things, but he was kind of an interesting personality. And then he had the injury. So I guess I'll go with Tonyan. I'll go with Tonyan and Chmura on that. And I'm probably conveniently forgetting somebody from, I don't know, like the 80s, Paul Kaufman or somebody from the 70s or the Lombardi era. But curious to hear what your answer is on this one.
Yeah, I think this is a really tough question because there's so many ways you could go with it. You could go with, okay, what about like as a person? So when I think of just character, like Mercedes Lewis is just so exceptional and I think is really going to go down kind of, you know, even though he spent much of his career in Jacksonville, he's a Green Bay Packer, like inside and out. Like he is just absolutely, you know, about everything that the Packers franchise stands for. So, you know, he has a special place in my heart. Then, you know, there are moments, like you said, with Tonyan where you're like, okay, he could definitely be the guy. Like he could be the guy in a couple of years. Then, you know, you look back on some of the moments that are more nostalgic and you think of guys like Jared Cook and making that catch on the edge of the sideline where he's dragging his toes. And you're like, okay, you know, he wasn't there for a long time, but when he was there, he did a lot of really great stuff. And, you know, that, I mean, that image of him dragging his toes on the line in Dallas is just burned in my memory. Mm-hmm. And so it was a great question. So kudos to you, Tyler, because there are a lot of legendary Packers tight ends and current tight ends on their roster that, you know, we could talk about for days. So I think, you know, there really isn't a wrong answer here. It's just what you prefer and what, you know, makes a good tight end in your mind. And the second part of that question, which will be the last question for today, is there a stadium food you get at every game you go to?
Ooh. Does this have to be Lambeau specifically?
It did not say, so I'm going to say no.
So not really when it comes to football. It kind of depends because football encompasses a couple different seasons. Baseball, though, baseball is easy. It's always either Coke or Pepsi and two hot dogs with condiments. And to set the record straight, I am a ketchup, mustard, and relish guy. I do all three. I don't put a lot of onions and other stuff on there, but ketchup, mustard, relish, always at the ball game with the Coke. When it comes to basketball and hockey and football, there's something about it. It just varies. I don't have that same traditional mindset, but obviously, you know, when you're going to the ballpark, that's why when someone said, can you trust somebody who doesn't eat condiments? I was like, I can't imagine being robbed of, because that's half the best part is just putting all that stuff on, slopping it on your hot dog and enjoying it. So I'll go with that.
Yeah, it's definitely, I think it kind of varies based on what kind of sporting event I'm at, but my go-to is usually a soft pretzel. I get a soft pretzel like everywhere, and I always try to get the little cup of cheese that goes with it or something else, you know, mustard, again, condiments. Mm-hmm. to accompany that, but that's kind of my go-to. I go to a lot of soccer games here in Florida, and then, you know, football games, whether it's college football or Packers game or something like that. And a good old, like, classic big soft pretzel is undefeated in my mind. So I think that would be my answer for sure. Well, that will wrap up today's episode. Jason, thank you again for joining. This was great. I had a wonderful time, you know, chatting Packers with you, getting to know you a little bit better. Kind of wanted to give you the floor, see if you have any final thoughts.
No, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. It's good to be a part of the midweek crew here. I hope I did the Wednesday show proud by filling in. I'm obviously not Dusty or Steve, but thanks for having me on, Sarah. Same thing. It was good to catch up. Good to hear some new voices and some new perspectives. And we've got something to work towards. You guys have a lot of really good fans with some really good questions. So that's awesome that you do that and that you get that engagement from them. So thanks again for giving me a microphone for today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for coming on, for being a lifesaver. And, you know, thank you guys that are listening. We appreciate it. We're excited. We're getting closer and closer to the season. You know, it's August. There's Packers preseason football this month, and we can't wait. So make sure, you know, you're following along on Packaday Podcast every single day. Make sure you're liking, subscribing, following if you haven't already, on your favorite streaming platform. You know, leave a 5-star review if you really enjoyed the episode, and make sure to follow at Packaday Podcast on Twitter. You can follow Jason and check out his work on Twitter at Jason Perrone, and you can follow me at Sarah Kelleher 4. We will see you guys again soon, but as always, go Pack, go.